Jesus Christ super action figure. That's obviously a bit of a joke of some action figurines that are available that look like something of what Jesus may have looked like and do things that Jesus may have done. Now this term, we're going to talk about super Jesus. Okay, for the rest of the term we're talking about super Jesus, because in a sense Jesus is far greater. Not in a sense, in every single way Jesus is far greater than all those superheroes that you've just mentioned. Jesus is far greater than Voltron. This is Voltron. I've had Voltron since I was 6 years old. I got this in kindergarten. Voltron was really cool back in the mid-80s. And we used to play Voltron at school. And this middle one here, the black one, that was Lance. And whenever we played, everyone wanted to be Lance. And there was one guy who was a bit of a bully that I hung out with, and he always got to be Lance. So I'd have to be like one of the legs or the arms, which just wasn't as cool as being Lance, the cat in the middle. This guy was incredible. These little fellas, so they pull apart. And that same friend, right, at school, he actually had the full set that was like this tall, and this is all I was allowed to get, which is pretty lame. But basically, the way they worked is there was five pieces, okay, and by themselves, they're pretty tough. But when they combined forces, they were incredible. This is Voltron. Say hi, Voltron. Okay, so this term, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at Super Jesus. We're going to be looking at one of, I think, the most impressive passages in the whole of the Bible about Jesus. And in this passage, we will see how super he is, how he's far superior than any action figure that some cartoonists can think of when they're writing a cartoon. And we're going to look at Colossians 1, the thing that was read out for us before, the passage that was read out for us, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. We're actually going to look at it every week for the rest of the term. And we're going to look at just about basically one verse a week. And I guess the big aim of the rest of the term is to answer the question, what's so super about Jesus? What's so impressive about Jesus? What makes him far superior, not just to action figures, but to other people, to other kings, to other rulers, to even other gods? What makes Jesus so much better? What makes Jesus so much more superior than everyone else? And so basically, we're going to look at a verse a week, and we're going to look at verse 15 tonight. We're going to ask that question, what makes Jesus so super? And there's two things in verse 15 that show us what makes Jesus so super, so impressive, so great. It should pop up on the screen, verse 15. See the verse 15 and read it with me. He is the... Can you read it with me? We'll start again. We'll go at that pace. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That was... I don't know, it was syllables, I think. There you go. The first thing I want to show you is that makes Jesus so super is that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. There's the first thing to say. That's pretty super. Quick show of hands if you're God. Quick show of hands if you've met God in your year group at school, or maybe your parents at home, or maybe you went down to the petrol station after youth group last week and you bought a Slurpee. Did you buy it off God? Did you play soccer against God the other day? Did you play netball the other night against God? No, you didn't play netball, you didn't play soccer, you didn't buy something off God at the 7-Eleven down the road. You see, Jesus steps on the scene, and the claims that are made about Jesus is that this isn't just some other man. This isn't just some other good person or good teacher or religious leader. Jesus steps on the scene and says, I am God. Jesus' followers, the disciples, the apostles, all those people, and people for the last 2,000 years, do you know how they've responded to Jesus? They've worshipped him. But the Bible says you should worship only God. What are Christians saying when they worship Jesus? Jesus, you are... Was that Chris? God. When we worship Jesus, we're actually suggesting that Jesus is God. And the Bible suggests that Jesus is God. And the verse here says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So there's another verse in John that talks about how no one has ever seen God. But if you see Jesus, you've seen God. So for thousands and thousands of years, no one had actually sort of seen God in the way that we can see each other. Okay, but when Jesus steps on the scene, Jesus comes, he walks on this earth, he does impressive things, he does miracles, he heals people, he brings people from death to life, he calms storms with a word, be calm, be still. And a tsunami stops. A storm stops at his words. Jesus comes along and he shows us that he is God by the things that he does and by the things that he says. Now, a photograph, imagine a photograph for a moment and what a photograph does. I know some people that I've heard of recently that met on the internet and they're now married, okay? And I heard of one couple in particular that exchanged emails for a while before they actually exchanged any photos. So they're getting to know each other and they sort of started going out before they'd even seen pictures. And imagine when they send the picture to the other person. There's some type of way that they can go, oh, okay, yeah, I can start to put the face to the voice type of thing. But imagine when they meet. Imagine when they meet. No longer is it just some words, no longer is it a picture that you've been sent, but you're in the very presence of this person that you've been talking to. When Jesus comes on the earth, when Jesus steps onto the planet, he shows us who God is. We meet God through Jesus. There's what the Bible says, there's what Jesus says, and there's what Christians believe, is that Jesus is God. Now, when it says that he's the image of the invisible God, it's not talking about his physical features. It's not talking about his hair. Maybe he had a beard. It's not talking about his six-pack. It's not talking about his legs. It's not talking about his toe. It's not talking about his eyes and the twinkle in his eyes. When it's talking about the image of the invisible God, it's picking up far more than just physically what Jesus looks like, but it's picking up something about his character. It's picking up something about what he's like. It's picking up something about the things that he says. His attitude. The things that he does. When we see the type of person that Jesus is, we see the type of God that God is. Why? Because Jesus is God. When you meet Jesus, you meet God. Have you ever asked that question before? What's God like? I wonder what he's like. Look no further than Jesus. The Bible clearly shows us what Jesus is like. If you were around 2,000 years ago, you could have shaken hands with God. You could have patted him on the back. You could have eaten a meal with him. You could have spat on him like lots of people spat on him. You could have yelled insults at him. You could have been his friend. A whole bunch of different things if you were there 2,000 years ago. We no longer see Jesus physically like they may have seen him 2,000 years ago, but as we read the Bible, as we read the Word of God, we meet Jesus, and as we meet Jesus, we meet God. I don't know if you know God. I don't know if you know Jesus. Maybe you've been brought up in a family that doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you've been brought up in a family that you've always been hearing things about Jesus. Maybe you just don't take the Bible very seriously. Maybe you've heard it so many times. You've heard it since you were born. You've heard about Jesus. You've sung songs about him at Sunday school and at youth group, and you might have failed to see that when we see Jesus, we see God. Can I encourage you tonight to look to Jesus, because it's only in Jesus that you'll know God. Why? Because Jesus is God. So there's the first thing. What's so super about Jesus? Jesus is God. The second thing from that verse there is that Jesus is supreme. What a supreme individual. Have a look at it there. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, when it says the firstborn, it's saying that Jesus was the first one to be created. Agree? Head up a big one. When it says that Jesus was the firstborn over all creation, it's saying that Jesus is the first one to be created. Head up if you agree. Okay. Head up if you disagree. Okay, a few hands up have gone because they disagree. When it's saying Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, Okay, those who put their hands up the first time can go home tonight and say they learned something. It's not saying Jesus was the first one created. We'll find out more about that in a couple of weeks' time when we look at the next verse. Jesus was not the first one created. Jesus has always been. If he's God, he was there in the beginning. He was there before the beginning. The Bible says that Jesus... Thanks, boys. The Bible says that Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. He's always been. So it's not like he was created like I was created, or like you were created, or like Ayers Rock was created, or the Skillion, or the planet, or Jupiter. Jesus wasn't created. So what's it saying when it says Jesus is the firstborn over all creation? What's it saying there? It's saying that Jesus has all authority over all of creation. The Old Testament, you hear the idea of firstborn a number of times, and it can mean the first one born in a family. Okay? Of course, the firstborn quite often means the first one born in a family, hence it being called firstborn. But in the Old Testament, there's also examples where the firstborn, the one who was born first, isn't necessarily the firstborn. Does that make sense? So there's times where the firstborn isn't the firstborn, even though they... Does that make sense? Let me show you how it works. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Not that he was created, but that he has supreme authority, is what those words are picking up. That he has preeminence. That he's the supreme one. That he is the most important. That he... That he has all authority over everything else in creation. Now, I love pizza. Hand up if you like pizza. Hand up if you love pizza. Okay. I love pizza. You can put your hands down. When I went to university, I used to eat a pizza every single Friday. It was one of those no-frills ones that you put in the oven for 10 minutes. Fantastic. It was a beautiful pizza. Now, pizza makers, what they tried to do a few years ago, many years ago, is they tried to make a pizza that was just the ultimate pizza. It had everything in it. What was that pizza called?
Supreme.
The Supreme Pizza. The Supreme Pizza is supposed to be the bomb when it comes to pizzas. It's supposed to be the best one. Now, there's some people going, I don't like Supreme. I like the seafood. I like the chicken. I like the plain cheese. I can see some people that don't necessarily... Whose favourite pizza is Supreme? Two people. Back in the 80s, the Supreme was the bomb. You always got a Supreme, but now they're pretty yucky. But do you know what? The Supreme was supposed to be the ultimate one. It had it all. It had the authority over every other pizza. Okay? That's what it was supposed to happen, but it doesn't quite look like that because some of us don't like Supreme pizza. Jesus, okay, he actually does have all authority. He actually is the Supreme One. He is the one of first importance. That's what it means when it says he is supreme. He's of the first importance. He's of the most importance. He's the most important person ever. He's the most important anything ever is Jesus. Jesus is God and Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. He has all authority. What's so super about Jesus from this verse tonight? He's God. And he has all authority. I want to encourage you tonight and this term to treat Jesus as God. To treat him as the one who has all authority. To worship him as God. To worship him as the one who is supreme over everything. But as we close, I want to read you some verses which we'll read every week. Verse 21 to 23. Verse 21 to 23. I'm going to quickly read it and then we'll pray. Verse 21, it says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." See what it's saying? It's saying, you, the people in Colossae, the people in the church this was written to, you were once alienated from God. That is, you were once enemies with God. But now, what does it say, but now? Can someone shout it out for me? Verse 22.
He was reconciled.
We have been reconciled Through Jesus. Okay, we were once aliens, we were once enemies, but through Jesus, we've been reconciled, which means we've been restored into relationship with God. Okay, see what it's saying? It's saying you were once aliens, but now you're friends with God. But then I look at 23. What's the first word? That was very quick. If. Okay, this is talking to you. You were once enemies of God. You are now his friend. If. Have a look at what it says after that. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. See what it's saying? It's saying you were once enemies of God, you're now friends with God, if what? You keep going. Okay, you might claim to be a Christian this year, but if in 2 years' time you no longer worship Jesus as God, well, you haven't continued. You haven't kept going. So to close, I want to encourage you, as you grow up in high school, it'll get harder and harder to be a Christian. I don't care if you go to a Christian school or a private school or a public school, at all of them, there'll be great temptations to stop worshipping Jesus. There'll be great temptations to start living for yourself rather than Jesus. Let me encourage you tonight, and indeed this term, to see how supreme, how impressive, how super Jesus is. He is God. He has all authority. And as we'll learn over coming weeks, he's the one who died and rose again, that we could be friends with him. Let me urge you tonight to continue in him. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we can gather together tonight. We thank you that we can have lots of fun, and we thank you that we can hear from your word, and thank you that you speak to us in it. And we thank you that tonight and this term we will meet Jesus, and we ask that you'd help us to see him as the one who is most superior, that we would see Jesus as the one who has all authority, and that we would see Jesus as God. We pray that you'd help us to treat him in the way that we should treat him. And we pray that you'd help us to continue in him, to keep wanting to be Christian, to keep wanting to come to youth group, to keep wanting to be different at school. And we pray that you'd help us to do this. And we pray that you'd keep reminding us of Jesus who died and rose again for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I've got one question for you, and we'll split up and talk about it. The question is simply, why should you follow Jesus? Based on what we've talked about tonight, based on the two things, there's the key thing in the end, why should you follow Jesus? Got the question? Go to your groups. If you don't know where to go, come and see me.